we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
And good Wednesday afternoon, everybody. Fred Jackson sitting in for Walker today. Glad to be here on this. We're halfway through the month of March already, getting ever closer to our spring share-a-thon. Just wanted to remind you, we love hearing your stories on what American Family Radio means to you. And many times we get to play those stories back during our share-a-thon, which is coming up about the middle of next month. So if you would like to share with us just and hearing stories like how you came across American Family Radio and what special, you know, programs have done for you, or preaching programs or information programs like this one, we'd love to hear from you. And it works pretty simply like this. Call 877-876-8893, 877-876-8893, and your story will be recorded. Keep it brief, about a minute or two, and Lord willing, your story may be picked, and you'll hear it back during share. It's one of my favorite things during share-a-thon is hearing your testimonies, folks, because that is so rewarding for us to see how American Family Radio is being used by God to touch lives. And we hear those stories every day, but this is an opportunity to get those stories recorded, like I say, about a minute or two. You just call 877-876-8893. Just follow the prompts there. And as I say, we look forward to hearing from you and perhaps hearing back from you during our share-a-thon. Well, we have breaking news at this hour from the state of Texas. State of Texas announcing this morning that it's taking over the schools in Houston, Texas. All right? That involves, are you ready for this? About 200,000 students. Now, this has been in the works apparently for some time, and it has to do with the performance of these schools. Now, let me warn you up front. I've been reading a couple of accounts, local newspapers, obviously, Houston Chronicle, etc., also the Associated Press. They're saying, because they're leftists, they're saying this is all because of politics, that Governor Abbott, Republican, City of Houston, very Democrat, and so this is a political battle. But that's not what these things are about. But the last thing that I'm sure the governor of Texas and the Texas education system needs is to bring a school system the size of Houston, like I say, 200,000 students under its wing. But it's because of performance, the performance tests. And as I say, this has been going on for some time. According to the Associated Press, the state began making moves toward a takeover of the Houston Independent School District in 2019, following allegations of misconduct by school trustees, including inappropriate influencing of vendor contracts and chronically low academic scores at one of its roughly 50 high schools. So there you have it. Mike Morath is the commissioner of the Texas Education Agency. He's quoted as saying this morning, even with a delay of 3 full years caused by legal proceedings, systematic problems in Houston ISD continue to impact students most in need of our collective support. So there you have it. There probably will be some more legal challenges. We'll have to wait and see. But this is an ongoing story. Even the AP admits other big cities, including Philadelphia, New Orleans, and Detroit, in recent decades have all undergone state takeovers. What's the commonality between those cities mentioned? Philadelphia, New Orleans, Detroit, and now Houston, Texas, all run by Democrats. Just a few weeks ago, there was a similar story, this one out of Baltimore. And I remember reading the headline. It was hard to believe. 23 Baltimore schools have zero students proficient in math per state test results. 23 Baltimore schools, zero students, not one student proficient in math. This story quoted Yovani Patterson, a Baltimore resident who made headlines in January 2022 when he filed a lawsuit against the Baltimore City Schools. Suit claimed the district is failing to educate students and in the process misusing taxpayer funds. Now listen to this. Baltimore's city's math scores were the lowest in the state. Now hold on. Just 7% of third through eighth graders tested proficient in math. Just 7%, which means 93% could not do math at grade level. Now, that's just more than just saying, oh, the schools aren't doing a good job. No, it's a total failure. Kids can't go on. I mean, you need mathematics, folks. You need to know how to read in order to get a basic job these days. This story says, still with Baltimore, among the list of 23 schools, 10 high schools, 8 elementary schools, 3 middle high schools, and 2 elementary middle schools. Exactly 2,000 students in total took the state math test at these schools. Not one could do math at grade level. Patterson, who issued the initial complaint, says these kids can't do math. You're not preparing them to buy groceries. You're not preparing them to do accounting, to count their own money. You're not preparing them to read contracts and negotiate salaries. So what is going on? It's almost a rhetorical question. So what's going on in these schools, in these big cities? And these are just 4 or 5 cities we've just talked about, all of them Democrat run. It's happening also. I mean, Chicago. It's happening there in other schools. So what are they spending their day doing in these schools? Now, I went to school a long, long time ago, but I still remember what I did in kindergarten in these lower grades. It was math and reading. That was the focus. Here's my speculation. My speculation is these kids know all about critical race theory. That's probably been pounded into their heads. That there are two sets of people out there, and depending on their skin color, they're an oppressor or an oppressed. They probably have that down. They probably have it down that capitalism is just a horrible thing. And that they have to be agents of change. Grow up and be agents of change. You need to make this country more socialist. That should be your focus out there. And is it any wonder, and I wonder how some of these kids coming from these kinds of school districts even make it into university. Probably it's equity programs, you know. You have to have so many of this group of people coming in. And that is why perhaps we're seeing protests like we've seen just in the last few days, such as one last night at the University of California, Davis. Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA, founder of that, was due to speak there. And guess what happened at this bastion of what they would call tolerance? These kids, a lot of them showed up wearing black, clashed with law enforcement officers and other students, smashed windows, hurled eggs, used pepper spray, and blocked people from entering the University Credit Union Center where this event was being held. So much for tolerance. Charlie Kirk had this to say about his experience last night at UC Davis. Cut 3.
I don't know if you saw, but they broke some windows. The terrorists did outside to try to come in. People had things thrown at them. The whole place was spray painted, not just throughout the week, but also tonight. We are not going to put up with force of trying to shut down people you don't like. And instead, we are going to have a free society based on speech, based on dialogue, based on discourse. And tonight is a statement to them that they're the losers and that speech wins in America. That is what tonight is all about.
So there you have it. Charlie Kirk is exactly right. You have to push forward with this. But isn't it interesting? These, and he calls them terrorists, and they are. They confronted with police, smashed windows, hurled eggs, pepper spray, and blocked people from entering the center where the meeting was being held. Now, there were people who did less than that January 6th, 21, at the U.S. Capitol. They ended up in prison. Some of them are still waiting in jail cells to have their day in court. But these kids, if I was a betting man, it says there were a couple of arrests. It'll be interesting to see what happens to them. Smashing windows, hurling eggs, confronting police, it says. I would call that assault. Be interesting to see what happens to them. But, you know, it wasn't the only protest. You may have heard a justice with the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. He was at... due to give a speech at Stanford University Law School. And he was shouted down. You may have seen the video. He tried to speak, but he was shouted down. But to the rescue came the Stanford Law School. She's the DEI Administrator, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Administrator. She was in the room. She's the assistant dean, I think it is. And she went at this judge from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We have time to play this clip, Bobby? Yeah. We want to play this clip of this Taryn Steinbeck and what she had to say. Cut number two.
I'm uncomfortable because this event is tearing at the fabric of this community that I care about and I'm here to support. And I don't know, and I have to ask myself, and I'm not a cynic to ask this, is the juice worth the squeeze? But for many people in this law school who work here, who study here, and who live here, your advocacy, your opinions from the bench land as absolute disenfranchisement of their rights and does land. Let me finish, please. For many people here, your work has caused harm.
Yeah, there you have it. No support there from Taryn Steinbeck, the diversity, equity, and inclusion administrator. But folks, this is the norm on our college campuses. And these are the kids that are coming out of our high school systems, as we've just been talking about, in these Democrat-run cities, these public school systems. Is it any wonder why, in so many areas, you have Republicans, governments, state governments, now saying we have to do something about our education system? And folks, it's not about political points of view. We're talking about radical leftists. They're getting their training in these high schools. They go on to these universities, these woke universities, and which are, you know, they advertise themselves as bastions of tolerance. Well, we know that's not the case. And so that's why you have states like Florida, states like Arkansas, where you have Republican governors that are coming in and saying, and they're responding to parents out there. We want school choice, these parents are saying. We have got to get our kids out of these failing schools and hopefully going to schools that are not only teaching them math and reading, but also how to be decent citizens. All right. Boy, this is a big story, and it's going to be ongoing. I think there's a bit of an education revolution going on in this country right now. And that should be welcomed by all of us. All right, much more ahead here on The Core for Wednesday. Fred sitting in for Walker. Don't go away.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. After receiving letters from more than 20 Republican attorneys general threatening legal action, Walgreens, the second largest pharmaceutical chain in America, has announced it will not dispense abortion-inducing drugs either by mail or in their physical stores in 21 states. Those states are Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, and West Virginia. Hopefully, Walgreens' announcement will stir CVS, Walmart, Costco, and others to follow suit. With Roe's reversal, the battleground to protect the unborn has moved largely to the pharmacy.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Raising Godly Girls Minute with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
Smartphones have made daily communication an increasingly noisy process. 6 billion text messages are sent every day. That's 6 billion ongoing conversations happening simultaneously. With all that talking, how are we doing, though, with listening as a culture? The short answer is not good, but God listens. So as Christians, shouldn't we also? In the Old Testament, often God's voice comes as a still small voice. If our families are so entrenched in the noise of today, how will our girls be tuned to the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit? Take hold of your family's communication. When possible, choose face-to-face conversations and avoid rushing the process. Also, model this in family prayer time, giving time in silent listening for the Holy Spirit to speak to your children's hearts.
Learn more about empowering girls through the love of God at RaisingGodlyGirls.com.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder with the cost of everything going up from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
And indeed, we're back for Core for a Wednesday. Fred Jackson sitting in for Walker. Well, as we look across the country, it seems the mandates, the pandemic mandates, the mask mandates, those sorts of things. Travel has opened up again. When you walk around, you don't see a lot of people with masks. I think there seems to be some relieving of some of the restrictions on our border. The president says, what is it, May 11th, I believe it is. Some of those last restrictions will be in place. But the impact of the mandatory vaccinations, the boosters, yes, the masks, the impact on our education system, the impact on our freedom, that may not be over yet. And we want to talk to, I think, an expert in this field. If you listen to Jan Markell, our good friend Jan Markell, Understanding the Times on the Weekend here on American Family Radio, one of her frequent guests is Twyla Brace. She's with Citizens Council for Health Freedom. She's also, like Jan, from the Twin Cities, and we welcome Twyla right now. Twyla, good afternoon.
Thank you, Fred. I'm glad to be here.
That's great to have you. Now, tell me, I say there's, you know, Americans are kind of breathing a little bit of sigh of relief, but I'm afraid the government, the existing government of today, got a taste of what they could do to control the population. And I wonder, and I want to get your comments on this. Bill Gates, I think, has said this. He's warning of another pandemic is coming. Do you fear that the government is going to try to impose this sort of thing again on us?
Well, given the fact that I think they had the first pandemic meeting, federal meeting, it was even maybe a global meeting, I can't remember, because there's been a number of them. But they started in, I believe it was 2000 or 2001, and they started holding them, and they started looking at all these different things that they might want to do. And if I did a Health Freedom Minute on the radio, actually two of them, just talking about, you know, one conference after the next conference and just giving the names of them, because they looked at vaccine mandates, they looked at lockdowns, they looked at all of these different things. And then I think, you know, when it happened, they just were like, well, let's try them, because they actually said in one of those previous pandemic meetings, they held like one a year or one every other year, that they thought lockdowns would never fly, you know. And so Deborah Birx comes up with this idea of 15 days. And then as soon as she got the Trump administration to say okay to it, she was already trying to get many more days than that. And we know how that turned out.
Yeah, I think honestly, fear is a powerful force. And they were able to accomplish what they did in the early days of the COVID pandemic because of fear. It was all about, you know, I remember Joe Biden going on the air and talking about, you know, protect your loved one. Make sure they're around the Christmas table. Get your shot. There's also, I mean, I don't know, we were lied to. But with regards to the impact of the shot, that you won't spread it to other people and get that booster because that'll keep you immune. We all know that is not true now. I guess we can understand if there's a high degree of pessimism amongst Americans.
Well, there were so many lies. And so, you know, just recently there's a video now of Moderna's, I don't know if it was the CEO of Moderna or somebody major, you know, being interviewed or as part of a panel. And he was saying that Moderna never actually got the virus itself to make a vaccine from. So they got a model. So somebody gave them a model. and they made the shot off of the model. So they never actually had the real thing, right? And so that was just like another piece. So when you make a vaccine, you actually need to have the thing, right, that you're going to use. And they got some kind of equation, I presume, the model being, because they never had the actual material. And so there's been a lot of lies from, you know, that it would work, that it's safe and effective, that it's been, you know, properly tested in all these groups. And all you have to do is look at the emergency use authorization, which most people, of course, don't bother looking at. But it actually says the different kind of clinical trials that must be done from now until 2027 to see what the impact is on these groups. Meanwhile, the mandates were implemented. They made claims of safety and effectiveness, and not only effectiveness in stopping COVID, but in transmitting COVID. And we now know that none of these, it doesn't protect against any of these. Although some people will say it might protect, you know, initially, as long as you don't get harmed. Yeah. From the shot, because there's a lot of people being harmed right away or within days of the shot.
Let's talk about that, because that is the story the mainstream media for the most part is ignoring, because they're in bed with the CDC and the Dr. Fauci's and all of that. But you've been tracking this. I know I've listened to a few of your interviews. You've been tracking this. It is incredible the numbers of people who are still suffering from this.
Oh, the vaccine injuries, or the shot, the injection injuries, right? Because it doesn't actually do what a vaccine does, which is stop you from getting the virus, the infection, right? So the injuries they not only continue, the people who have the injuries, right? But there just continue to be more people who get the injuries. And then we have all of these people who are young people or younger people, right? with these sudden collapses or sudden heart attacks or sudden deaths, right? And this is happening not only in sports where it's often announced, but also in other, you know, in other people around the country. But yes, the injuries are significant. And when the CDC finally released the findings of their analysis, or maybe I should say when they were finally forced to do an analysis of all the different injuries being reported on their own vaccine adverse events reporting system, they kind of came up with more than 700 safety signals. And a safety signal is a signal saying that there might be a safety issue here. It's not a signal of safety. It's a signal of possible unsafe conditions. And so some of those safety signals, the most were found in the cardiac and vascular realm. The next were the neurological. And then there were things like strokes or, you know, miscarriages or a whole, you know, group of other issues, but more than 700. And then if you look on the VAERS system, there's about 35,000 or nearly 35,000 deaths that have been reported. And those aren't all the deaths, because a lot of people do not bother to report them. Maybe the hospital or the mortician doesn't report them. Maybe some families would report them, but then they find out how clunky the system is and how long it takes to report, you know, just one injury, and they just give up, or they're too sorrowful and overburdened. They don't even want to deal with the bureaucracy of it all. So, you know, there's so much injury happening. There's injury happening for the vaccine, and there's injury happening for the virus because people were not properly treated in the beginning. So there's a lot of injury happening around the country and around the world.
Carla, but Moderna, Pfizer, other manufacturers of the so-called vaccine, because it really isn't a vaccine, as you say, it doesn't work the way traditional vaccines work, they have to know of the repercussions on millions of people, not just here in America, but around the world, of those shots. I would think that there would be some kind of conviction, because I think they were exempted from legal repercussions, because this was, they worked to put this thing out there very quickly. So they know they don't have necessarily legal consequences for the product that they produced, but one would think they're here, they know, they understand, they're getting feedback on the negative consequences of this. Why would they want to storm ahead and continue to promote these things, and governments like the Biden administration promote boosters? They're still doing it.
Yes, they're still doing it, and there's like 1,000 college campuses that are still mandating it. And the requirement on healthcare workers has not been lifted, right? So, you know, it continues. And I think, you know, we can make guesses. We can make a lot of guesses, right? And there might be a lot of different, reasons, because clearly the, Pfizer, Moderna have, they've got so much money as a result of getting these contracts with the government and these contracts around the world. So, you know, it can be a profit motive. Even in the government, it can be a profit motive because of some of the folks who got royalties, or the fact that the NIH royalties had to be paid to NIH from Moderna. Moderna made a catch-up payment of $400 million. To the to our federal government right after or shortly after Fauci left. And so that was because our federal government has the patent on a certain patent on coronavirus. And so they had to pay, Moderna had to pay in order to make their vaccines, this royalties to the federal government. So the federal government itself has profit motives. But then I think there's other motives, like the fact that the governments have never liked the idea that parents could even have the opportunity to say no to a vaccine. And so this idea of forcing everybody into being injected by whatever the government says they have to be injected with, I think this is a very strong motivation for those in the government who want to be the ones who can control and tell the population what they have to do. So I think there's a control, a kind of a tyrant feature, you know, that's going on there. And then there might be this whole idea of creating a whole digital control system using the shot as the entree into this, because realizing now that the government created certain codes for people who are unvaccinated, and that's generally, not just with COVID, but generally, they created some general unvaccination codes in a diagnosis, in a disease and injury classification system, of which, of course, being unvaccinated with any kind of a vaccine is not an injury or a disease. But they created that code in there anyway in 2021. That's when they issued it. But then in 2022, they announced some new COVID codes. And they could certainly use those other codes, but there's three specific COVID codes now that are out in 2022. This is all coming from the World Health Organization working together with our federal government. And if you start coding people and tracking them according to their non-compliance, right, according to their freedom of choice about what they put into their body, there's a purpose here. And if you start creating codes, this could be the entree into a vax passport, a compliance passport, but all digital, all with digital codes, right? So we don't exactly know totally where they want to go, but this whole idea, like with the Biden administration now moving towards digital cash, right? There's no such thing as digital cash, right? Digital currency, right? And then digital passports for deciding, you know, what you can do and where you can go and are you compliant? And so can you travel publicly? You know, can you go into grocery stores according to your compliance? You know, so for the tyrants of the world, which of course are through the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, and they want the United States government to move in this direction because they want to control and they want access and control over the United States, and they want to take away the freedom that we have in this country. And we as citizens have to say no. And if COVID and the COVID shot and all of that is about moving away from freedom in this country, the American people have to understand that. It's bigger than COVID.
Yeah, I've heard you and Jan talk about this. And of course, the left always says, oh, that, you know, it's conspiracy theory and all that sort of thing. But what you have just described, and I want you to kind of underline this, what you've just described is actually being done. They want information, all your information, your background, your bank accounts, your health records. They want people to have a digital ID. I don't think that's speculation anymore.
No, it's not speculation. Of course, it's happening, you know, in other places around the world. You know, we still have a constitution. And the American people and the governors and the state legislators in particular have to remember we still have a constitution and they have to act on it and act on, you know, states' rights and refusing to let this kind of thing, the federal government, do this kind of thing. Because the constitution actually limits, very clearly limits what the federal government can do, and Congress has bypassed and overridden all those limits, and states have let them do that, governors have let them do that, they've taken the money that the feds want to give them, and they've given up people's rights in order to get that money. And it is really time for states to stand up and say, you know, we don't want your money, because your money comes with strings, and those strings mean that we lose all our freedom in this state. And if your strings also include international control over what happens in our state, no, we come back and say we have our state sovereignty and we are reclaiming it. It is more important than those dollars that you are waving in front of our face and saying, here it is, come get these dollars, just give up a little bit of your control. It's not a little bit of your control, it's all of your authority as an individual. Remember that the 10th Amendment says that the rights that the government, all the powers that the government doesn't have, the federal government doesn't have, and those are limited rights. All the rest of them belong to the states and to the individual. And for too long, we've just, like, let the federal government roll over us.
All right. Twyla Brace, Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Got a website you can tell us about?
Yes, you can go to cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And if you want to look at our initiative for independent practices, go to jointhewedge.com. So cchfreedom.org and jointhewedge.com.
Twyla Brace, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
More on the core.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
God made His design for marriage and family absolutely clear. Unfortunately, Satan has a totally opposite view. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023 wants to restore God's plan. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III.
Having been made members of His eternal family, we now have a responsibility to consider how to stir one another up.
George Barna.
You cannot say there's a one-size-fits-all approach in ministry. If you've got a church of 1,000 people, you have 1,000 different stories, hurts, fears, doubts.
Dr. Lee Brand.
People gather together in buildings with steeples on top and crosses out front and never mention the name of Jesus, and that's sad.
And many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
All right, and welcome back to this Wednesday edition of The Core. Fred Jackson sitting in for Walker today. Time to hear from you, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Always interesting to hear from Twyla Brace. And basically, folks, what she is saying is that there is an agenda out there. And I think, you know, when you go back to the start of this pandemic, I'll never forget this. It started, remember, I think it was a senior citizen's home in Seattle where it first manifested itself. And this is when Donald Trump was president. And then it was all about kind of lowering the curb, keeping people out of ICU units, all of that sort of thing. And then, and some people said, yeah, well, Trump was in charge. But there was a panic in this country. And so you had the president listening to the Faucis and the CDC people, all of that sort of thing. And they went ahead with these restrictions in the belief that they could put a stop to this. And then, of course, there was the rush to bring on the shot. We're not going to call it the vaccine, the shot, and eventually the boosters and all of that sort of thing. But it was about control, but now we know so much more. We were told that those shots would keep us from getting COVID. That's not true. Keep us from spreading it. That's not true. People getting boosters, still getting COVID. We know so much more now because they weren't really following the science. They were following more of a political agenda. And, you know, there are people like Bill Gates that are warning of another pandemic that's coming. And the only thing that'll stop it is 100% of the world's population getting vaccinated, getting the shot. And that's why people like Twyla Brace and others are warning about this whole push still towards a digital ID. So that before you can get on an airplane, cross a border, do whatever, and perhaps even as far as you want to do banking business, you're going to have this digital ID. Now, a lot of people like our good friend Jan Markell of Understanding the Times, they connect this to the evolution of the Antichrist figure. The spirit of Antichrist, I believe, is out there now, control over the population. But many people who follow eschatology, they believe that this is what this is leading to, is the control, government control of every aspect of your life. That you won't be able to go into a grocery store without a digital ID to prove that you somehow are a protected person and that you're not a danger to somebody else. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And I want to give you an update besides everything else going on. You have the failure of this Silicon Valley bank last week, which has had further repercussions. You know, it was about a week ago when we found out that this bank was in danger of failing. And then there was a run on the bank. And then last Sunday evening, the Biden administration stepped in and they said, we're going to save the day. But here's what they did. The Biden administration went beyond what the laws in place have been, and that is to have insurance for people who have $250,000 or less in those accounts. What Biden announced is that, well, we're going to go beyond that. We're going to cover everybody who had deposits in Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank also on the East Coast. So it's gone well beyond what they originally thought. And so now people are looking, you know, Joe Biden, I remember this news conference he had, I think it was Monday morning. He told us, my team went to work and we've smoothed all of this out. But now people are starting to take a look at this and saying, no, you didn't smooth it all out. You created more government involvement in banks, well beyond what was in place. Because now, and there's one of those people who's commenting on this is Canadian-American investor Kevin O'Leary. He's been on CNN and Fox over the last 48 hours, basically saying this was a move, he believes, to nationalize our banking system, a move to nationalize our banking system. Here's what he had to say, cut number four.
What I see here, you know, regardless of where you stand in politics, it's a pretty bad policy because what we did, in my view, and it's a personal opinion, over the weekend is to nationalize the American banking system. We basically told everybody around the world, no, regardless of who you are and what bank you're in, no matter how much you have, we guarantee it. We don't care who you are or why it's there, but no matter what happens, it's guaranteed. So just think about it. I'd like to keep this very simple. I'm a bank manager in a bank today after this new policy decision, and I get compensated on the value of my bank's stock. You just told me I could take all the depositors' money, go to Las Vegas, put it on red. Maybe I double it. Maybe I lose it all. But it doesn't matter to me because you, the taxpayer, and the government guarantee all my depositors. As long as I play by the rules that we have now and the football rules of banking, I get to go crazy. And I think this is a very bad mistake.
All right, there you have. That was Kevin O'Leary, and he's a big investor, and he admits that he even had at least $1 million invested in Silicon Valley Bank, So where do we go from here with this? Well, a lot of people are pointing out that what's going to happen now, because the Biden administration gave the green light to bail out everybody, and you had people who had millions of dollars that they invested in various projects. And by the way, Silicon Valley Bank and also Signature Bank were so involved with the woke agenda. Did you know that Silicon Valley Bank did not have a risk investment investment officer in place? In other words, somebody whose job it is to look at where venture capital is going and say, no, we're not going to lend money to this individual for that kind of project. And you know where their risk investment, their risk person was? They were away for an 8 or 9 month sabbatical doing woke stuff, concentrating on diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's what they were doing. And the American people have just bailed all of that out. Sets a very, very dangerous precedent, folks. And the American taxpayer will pay for it. Now, Joe Biden will tell you, hey, this money that we helped these banks out with, it came from a special pot that banks contribute to. But here's what's going to happen. That pot is dry now. It's got to be reimbursed. And so they're going to charge banks, all banks, including your little community bank out there, they're going to charge all banks even more to fill that pot back up. And guess who's going to help the banks do that? You and me, folks. The fees that the banks charge us to do business with them now are going to go up. You see, this is the way it works. The mainstream media won't tell you about this, folks, but this is the way it works. All right, let's go to our phones and let's talk to William in Oklahoma. Go ahead, William.
All right, thanks for taking my call. It seems to me like we need a Captain Obvious in the White House. Every solution that felt like the border, he avoids a solution. Like in the schools, that's a redirection. They talk about bullying and inclusion, but they don't talk about the reading scores going down. They're always reflecting that something else to take the eye off the main target, going to not talking about the border prices, the oil, and talking about inflation. And this is because of it's created the fuel shortage. Everything's going up because of the fuel shortage. It leads to one thing leads to another. But instead of going at the obvious solution, they avoid it and go out to la-la land somewhere. That's all I got to say.
All right, William. Well, that pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? What's going on? They kind of like the individual, you know, who has the flashcards, and they tell people, look over here while I'm doing this to you over here. We don't want to talk about it. You know, it's absolutely amazing to me. We have probably one of the worst administrations in recent years. And the American people certainly have to be aware of it. Of course, depending on what news agency they get their news from. But they certainly have to be aware of what's going on our southern border by now. And they certainly have to be aware of what is happening in our schools. Off the top of the program today, we talked about the state of Texas announcing this morning it's taking over schools in the city of Houston. Because academically, the students there, it's over 200,000 students, they're not doing well. And they're just the latest Democrat-run city, as we talked about, where schools have been failing students. Baltimore, as we talked about, failing students. I mean, they can't do basic math and basic reading. But as I was saying earlier, I bet you they can talk about critical race theory. That kind of thing is woke stuff is being drummed into their skulls. But you know what? That will not help them get jobs. Mark in Iowa, go ahead.
Yes, you know, the reason why Joe Biden and the Democrats are bailing out these banks is because these banks are big contributors to the Democrat Party.
Yes, sir. You're exactly
in
right.
In 2008, when they had the bank failure then, the Democrats went and bailed out Wall Street. Well, Wall Street, two-thirds of all their donations go to the Democrat Party. They want to keep these bank operators in their positions in the banks so they can continue to get those donations.
No, you're exactly right. And there are stories to that effect. I don't have it in the studio with me, but some of the head officers of Silicon Bank, they contributed to people like Chuck Schumer. They had PACs. I think the employees there at the Silicon Valley Bank, they, in the last election cycle, I believe was something like $40,000. And the vast, vast, vast majority of that funding went to Democrat candidates. So you're exactly right, Mark. It's the old story that you kind of have to follow the money. And that is all part of it. And as I say, the American taxpayer are going to have to pay. Listen, we only got a few minutes left. I just wanted to bring you up to date on the other story that's out there today. And that has to do with the shooting down of one of our drones. If you haven't heard this story by now, a U.S. drone flying over the Black Sea, a couple of Russian fighter jets came in really close. The details apparently are this, at least what I heard this morning, dumped some fuel on that drone. By the way, the drone is $32 million. And then they flew around and knocked off part of the propeller that was on the back of this drone. The drone went down, $32 million drone. And so we're hoping there'll be an investigation into this. Our defense secretary says, they're dismayed by this. They think the Russians are terrible. They're going to call in the Russian ambassador. But if that's about it, the Russians, like the Chinese, are just mocking the Biden administration right now. Mark Green is a Republican from Tennessee who heads the House Committee on Homeland Security. He had this to say, cut number one.
It's unacceptable. It's a hostile act, at a minimum, on their part. We're in international waters, and it's far more serious than unprofessionalism. I think we continue the sanctions. We make those. They should be as crushing as they possibly can be. They should have been from the very beginning. The fact that we stair-stepped it has only, emboldened Putin to do this kind of stuff. We should put them on maximally, and we should continue in Ukraine to supply what Ukrainians need to defend their sovereignty.
One has to wonder if the Russians already have sent a destroyer out there in the Black Sea, and they are going to recover that drone, that U.S. drone. Now, it didn't have any weapons on it, we're told, but they're going to recover that that drone. They're not going to give it back to the United States. Someone suggested they will likely sell it to the Chinese, and then the Chinese will take it. And they will gather information, all the technology that's on it. And then maybe, Putin needs the money. China would be happy to pay him a whole pile of money. The Americans know this is going on. They're not going to tell the American people. The Biden administration is not going to tell the American people. But folks, as my boss says often, elections have consequences. You're seeing it on a daily basis now. And we better smarten up and learn. There are consequences, very serious consequences for our national security, for our banking system, and yes, for our health too. All right. Great to be with you today. Much more ahead here on American Family Radio. Stay tuned. Great programming ahead, preaching program throughout the evening. So God bless you. Take care of yourself. Keep looking up. God is still in control.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.